Wow, good morning, everyone. Oh, that was great worship. I had to lip sync most of it because, as you can tell, I've just about lost my voice, but I'm sure that the sound will come through really well. Steve will do a good job. And so, and I believe God is just restoring it already. So I'll keep sipping on the water too. It's not like I've been sick this week either, but it's been a tough week and I've probably just overdone it. And so my voice is paying for it. So, it's my privilege to be able to bring you the word this morning. Hey, last week, Dr. Kay gave us a great start to this month. So we're talking about the Godhead and just talking about the tenets of our faith as an Assemblies of God church. And she took us through some of the statements of faith about God and the Godhead. And one of the things that really stood out for me that God said, yes, speak on that today, and I'm pretty sure it would have spoken to you as well, is when she said that, talking about how God is one God, but three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, that none of them is the boss, none of them are more important than the other. They don't work independently from each other. They are all equally God, three in one. And that's a really difficult thing to get your head around. I've heard other preachers in the past try to explain it with different pictures, like how an egg is one thing, it's one entity, but there's three parts. You've got the yolk, you've got the shell, you've got the white, but it's one egg. Okay, that could work. Or water can be liquid, it can be frozen, it can be a vapor, like steam. An atom is protons, neutrons, and electrons, and they all have to be there to form that one atom. So I've heard lots of different people try to explain how God is one, but is three in one. And Dr. Kay last week talked about a ray of light. So I've written down what she said just to remind us. So the physicist's understanding of light is light is made up of three distinct rays. And if any of the rays is missing, there's no light. The rays cannot be separated out and assigned another attribute. Together, they are light. Separated, they are not. I thought that was really good. And it's the closest that she's found to sort of describing the Trinity. So today I'd like to look at just one part in particular of the Godhead. And we've sung a lot about this morning already. We've sung, I believe in you. I believe you rose again. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Lord. We've sung those words this morning. So today we're going to have a look at that part of the Godhead that we call Jesus, the Son, the Christ. Now, many different religions have their own different views about who Jesus is. Every major religious movement recognizes Jesus as an important figure. So some of them, like the Jews, they said he was a popular teacher. The Muslims believed Jesus was to be revered as a prophet and apostle of God. But they do not believe he was more than that. Am I pinching some of your sermon for next week, Kim? Okay, that's all right then. One Islamic group says he's a teacher and a prophet with the power to heal miraculously. The Baha'i faith describes Jesus as a manifestation of God and acknowledges that Jesus was sent by God. But they also place them at the same level as Abraham, as the Buddha, as Muhammad, as Krishna. And the New Age movement believes Jesus was a wise, moral teacher. Some other religions, mainstream religions, recognize him as a prophet. Today I'd like to look at who Jesus says he is. Now there was a name that Jesus used, and it actually came throughout the whole of the Gospels is recorded about 82 times. And Jesus referred to himself as the Son of Man. There's lots of references, as I said, but here's just some that we're going to just quickly read. So Matthew 13:37. I tell you, whoever publicly acknowledges me before others, the Son of Man will also acknowledge before the angels of God. And in John 1:51, then he added, very truly I tell you, you will see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. In Matthew 13:37, says, the one who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man. And Luke 12 was publicly acknowledging, So let's have a closer look at the title, Son of Man, and there's just four parts I'm going to talk about. So the Son of Man is a title of humanity. Got man in there. Other titles for Christ, such as Son of God, plainly focus on his deity or his divine nature. Son of Man, in contrast, focuses on the humanity of Christ. Son of Man is simply a term for human. And Jesus Christ was truly a human being when he was here on earth 2,000 years ago. Son of Man is a title of humility. So the second person of the Trinity left that beautiful, beautiful heaven, eternal heaven and nature, left God's glory and took on human flesh to become the Son of Man. He was born in a manger. He said he had no place to rest his head when he was here doing his ministry. He ate and drank with sinners, like you and me. He suffered at the hands of men. This intentional lowering of his status from King of Heaven to Son of Man is the perfect example of humanity and humility. Son of Man is a title of deity. So Jesus is the supreme example of all that God intended mankind, you and me, to be. He was the full expression of truth and grace and love and everything that we need. In Colossians 2 verse 9 we read, for in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. For this reason the Son of Man was able to forgive sins. I'm so thankful for that. The Son of Man was also Lord of the Sabbath. So the Son of Man came to save lives, to rise from the dead, and to bring judgment. At his trial before the high priest, Jesus said, truly I say to all of you, from now on you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of God the Almighty and coming on the clouds of heaven. Well, this statement immediately finished the trial of Jesus. They already had accused him and judged him the night before and condemned him to death. So that title caused the Pharisees to get very upset. And this fourth part of his title, Son of Man, is why. The Son of Man is a fulfillment of prophecy. So Jesus' claim before the Pharisees, before the religious leaders and the high court, was a reference to the prophecy of Daniel in chapter 7. And Daniel had this amazing vision that he recorded, and he didn't fully understand it at the time. But it was in Daniel 7, verses 13 to 14. He said, I was watching in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man coming with the clouds of heaven. He came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. Then to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom that all peoples, nations and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom the one which shall not be destroyed. Daniel saw glory and worship and an everlasting kingdom been given to this one called the Son of Man, given to the Messiah. And here was Jesus standing before all those religious leaders, claiming to be that Son of Man. He applied that prophecy to his own self. The Son of Man, in fulfillment of all that Old Testament prophecy, will be the King, a powerful figure from heaven, who would establish an eternal kingdom that encompasses all people, encompasses all of us. At his trial, Jesus is calmly claiming to be that Son of Man. Well, that's why the religious leaders got so upset. They could not believe that a lowly carpenter from a place called Nazareth, that was a town of no importance, could claim to be the Son of Man, to claim to be the Messiah. They could not accept that. They said it was blasphemy. And that was enough for them to trial him and to condemn him. But an important truth about Jesus is that he was both human and divine. He was both a man and God at the same time. That is part of what we believe. It's part of what we believe about the Godhead. It's part of what we've sung today in that beautiful song, the Creed. He is both God and man. That's another thing that's hard to get our heads around. It takes a lot of faith to believe these things. John chapter 5 gives us some amazing picture of what God, what Jesus says about himself. And this is some of the claims that he said. In John 5:18, Jesus claimed to be equal with God. He said, "For this reason, they tried all the more to kill him. Not only was he breaking the Sabbath, but was even calling God his own father, making himself equal for God, or with God." And then a bit further down in verse 24, Jesus claims to give eternal life. He said, "I tell you the truth, whoever hears my words and believes in him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life." Isn't that an amazing scripture? That's so powerful. That's something we need to hold on to as Christians and as believers. We have now crossed over from death to life. We have a future that's assured because of Jesus, because of what he has done. We need to get hold of that and really believe it. There's so much more than what we experience right now here on earth. Even if your life is good, there's so much more, so much more. Then a bit further down in chapter 5, verse 26, Jesus claims to be the source of life. "For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son also to have life in himself." And in verse 27, the very next one, "He has given him authority to judge because he is the Son of Man." These statements make it clear that Jesus was claiming to be divine, and yet he was a man there in front of them, standing as a human being, but claiming to be divine, the Son of God, God himself. It was almost unbelievable. The Pharisees just could not accept this truth. They were expecting a great king. In that that vision that Daniel had, it talks about how a great king was coming to rescue and to be the Messiah. That was not what they had in front of them. I think a big part of the problem with the Pharisees and the religious leaders was that they expected a king to come and rescue them from their oppression, from the Romans. And that was not the person that was in front of them. Their eyes were blinded to see who Jesus really was. Despite all the miracles that he performed, they could not accept that this was the Messiah. There's a bit of a challenge in there for you and me as well. So the Son of Man is who Jesus says he is. Who do you say he is? When we read the story of Christ, when we read the Gospels, we're left with one really unavoidable question that we have to answer. and ask, who was Jesus? Was Jesus God? Was Jesus God? Some significant parts of that vision that Daniel had certainly was fulfilled in Jesus. He said all peoples, nations, and men of every language worshipped him. And even though that might not have been fulfilled at the time Jesus was on earth, it certainly has been fulfilled now. Just there's thousands of languages throughout the world, and most of them are worshipping Jesus. That prophecy has certainly been fulfilled. And real worship can only be given freely. Not under coercion or by bribery, being told you have to do something. If Jesus was the Son of Man with all of heaven at his disposal, he could have, at his command, taken back all the power and ruled by force, but he didn't. He wants us to come to him voluntarily, to come with him, to him, knowing he is the Son of Man, the Son of God, our Redeemer, our Saviour, the only way to be restored to God. He wants the true worship to come from us. We had a taste of it this morning with the worship here and our worship team. They do such an amazing ministry of just bringing that worship to us and asking us to join in. That's just a taste of what we're going to experience for all eternity. I'm so looking forward to it. It's going to take us all eternity to find out just about God and what he's like and what he believes and what he's his nature, and it's going to take us all eternity to learn about God. It's going to be so exciting. The religious leaders in Jesus' day knew what the scripture said, but failed to apply the words in their lives. They knew the teachings of the scriptures. They failed to see the Messiah that the scriptures talked about. They did not allow the Son of Man to change their mindset and change their lives. Was Jesus God? As an Assembly of God church, we say yes. Jesus is God. Jesus is part of the Godhead. He is equal to God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. He is God the Son. He provided the way of salvation when he died on the cross for all our sins. For all our sins, past, present, and future. I've heard so many people saying, oh, God could never forgive me for what I've done. That is not true. That is not true. There's nowhere, anywhere in the Bible that says God will not forgive you for those sins in the past. He is able to forgive. He wants to forgive. All you have to do is come to him. It's so simple. It is so simple. Who do you say Jesus is? He's more than a prophet. He's more than a great teacher. He's more than a good moral person. He is God. He is part of the Godhead. He is equal with God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And if you would like to know more about Jesus, if you say it's time for a change in your life, that you want what some of us here have already got, that hope, that assurance, that joy, that love that can only come from God, it's yours today, freely offered. All you have to do is freely accept it. Please talk to someone today. It's so important. All your eternity will depend on it. I know this was a fairly short message, and it's probably about as much as my voice could handle today. But let's pray together before we have some lunch together. And if there's anyone that would like to give their lives to the Lord, please talk to someone today. It's so important that you do that. It'll change everything. Thank you, Lord. Holy, holy God, we thank you for who you are. We thank you, Lord, for what you have done. And today we thank you, Lord, for what you are yet to do. Oh, Lord, I'm so thankful for this month of looking at you in particular, at your Godhead, the parts of you that are all one. Help us to understand, Lord. Help us to have the faith to accept. Help us to not doubt you anymore. Help us not to have the questions that stop us from coming to you and accepting you and believing in you. Help us to overcome all those obstacles from the past, that we don't need to keep all that baggage from the past, Lord, but we can have a new future and a new life with you. I know, Lord, you don't promise that everything will be easy. We know that. We know life doesn't just become a bed of roses that we lie down and just rest in. But, Lord, you promise to be there. You promise to be there. You promise that you will always be there. So, Father, I thank you. I thank you for your word. I thank you for your word today. I pray your blessing on the word for the next two Sundays as well as we continue to look at God, at you, Lord. We ask your blessing upon us for the rest of this day in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.